The Crime Report, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Crime Stoppers, Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477, monetary reward of up to $5,000 for information that will lead to an arrest. All calls kept confidential, by the way, in Joe Jackalone, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College, author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function of Captain New Investigators, edition number 3, and a highly decorated member in his day of the NYPD, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. And we say a very good morning to the Sarge. Joseph, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I am well. Plate full today, so let's get right to it. Listen, the numbers, Joe, they speak for themselves. They are off the charts, okay? You're looking at, and this is just for the week, folks, murder up 266%, that is. Rape, 26%. Felony assault, 28%. Shooting incidents alone, Joe, 200%. Shooting victims, 188%. Here's my question to you. What are we doing about this?
Well, if you look at what the city council did, they banned plastic straws, I think, yesterday. So apparently all those crime numbers in New York City are nothing to be worried about. But I could say something right now. It's going to be a long, hot summer, Jay, because the political people in charge in New York City, either they just don't care or they're just trying to, you know, get by and see if things change. But I can tell you, these numbers are not going to change. It's not going to just go away, because many of these people think that, you know, all this was COVID related, and now we're coming off all the COVID restrictions, like, you know, everybody's going to go back to work. That's just a big misconception here. It's about depolicing. It's about a lot of different things that have happened with the police department where they've tied their hands, and nobody wants to go back and say we made a mistake. And I think that's the biggest problem that we're facing right now.
And it's about rotten leadership. I mean, all you got from the so-called leader of the city was that disgusting video of him eating a Shake Shack burger with fries, because he's talking about vaccinations and everything else. That's what's going to be handed out. He never addresses properly, okay, what's happening within the parameters of New York City. Never does. Always gives you a song and dance. I'm sick of it, I tell you, Joe.
They would have to make a mistake, Jay. That's the problem, you know? They'd have to admit that they made a mistake, that they went too far with these reforms, that the reforms, you know, there's no such thing. You know, any way you look in the dictionary of thesaurus, the word reform doesn't always mean good. So we're dealing with a lot of different things here that they've pulled apart. You think about the anti-crime gun. It's the
everything. They don't have enough cops.
Qualified immunity. I mean, the list goes on and on.
They don't have enough cops on the street. The anti-corruption unit. Listen, everything was taken away. The bail reform. Judges don't have the power to keep these guys in jail where they should be. Like the Jordan Burnetts, okay? With the 42 counts and the 11-day spree of throwing rocks at synagogues and breaking windows and doors. And he's back out on the street. I mean, give me a break. And all we ever hear from, you know, advocates and everything else, oh, we got to reform police plans. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Do these numbers mean anything to anybody?
No.
Do they?
It's when you look at the numbers, too, every month, just about on average, 97% of victims of homicide in New York City are Black and Latino. So you have to start wondering, like, where, you know, the outrages and why that the politicians keep on pushing this agenda, because it's negatively affecting the Black and Latino communities. And I would say, I mean, as a former cop, I mean, you sit there, you saw what happened. I got on the job in 1992. I saw how bad things were, and then how things were so got so much better. Think about the lives that were saved during those 20 or 30 years before. Exponential, you know, so kids, grandkids, all these people were alive today because of good policing. And we're at a crossroads now where we're going to be facing some serious numbers that we haven't seen in probably 20 or 30 years. This summer is going to be a bad one.
It's unbelievable. Joe, how would you be and you had 20 years in the business, how would you go about your business if you were still around there these days? I can't even imagine what you'd be thinking right now.
Well, and I think what's on the mind of every cop is that the removal of qualified immunity and how you've made it easier for people to sue you personally. And I think that's on the mind of every cop out there. And even if you were doing your job correctly and you make a mistake, that you could be sued. So if you do something when a search and seizure or during an arrest or something happens. And this is, you know, people think it's like, oh, if the cops go off the rails and start beating people indiscriminately and that kind of, and also we can sue them now. No, it's for violations of Fourth Amendment issues. It's for, so where you were afforded a mistake, where you did something in good faith, the good faith thing has been removed from that. And people have to understand that. And listen, if when it comes down to cops putting their personal security and finances on the line, they're going to just be doing reactive policing, where that's your traditional form of policing, where somebody calls 911 and you respond to it. The cops are always going to come. But it's that proactive measure about trying to get guns off the street and trying to remove drug dealers off street corners, those are the things that are going to go by the wayside. And that's what creates the violence. You're going to see dice games are on street corners. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that creates violence, because somebody gets into a fight over money. And the next thing you know, the guns start coming out. People start getting shot everywhere. That's the problem that we're facing. And you know what, Jay? You can't undo it. This policing, this proactive policing, you can't just turn it on like a spigot. All of these laws and rules and reforms that have been put in place prevent that from ever happening again. So people can, you know, these mayoral candidates can say what they're going to do all they want, but the rules are in place, then it just handcuffs the police from doing anything proactive.
You know, you could have Napoleon lead the way here. You can't fix this until it's fixed within the ranks of the city and Albany. That's what you need to do here. So, you know, exactly. You ask yourself, well, what can the city council do? Well, you know what they can do? They could ban plastic straws. That's what they can do. See, this is the mindset now. They are immune to what's happening in real time, and that's a fact. Now, let's get to this Times Square shooter, Joe. Happened last Saturday. I mean, listen, four people shot randomly. This Farrakhan Muhammad, finally, they picked him up. Where did they pick him up? In Florida, eating French fries. At a McDonald's parking lot. In French fries. Okay? They got him, though. But, you know, you think about it. A four-year-old was shot. By the way, what tremendous work by Officer Alyssa Vogel, who is a West Islip gal of the NYPD. Tremendous. Took the kid, tourniquet, took him to an ambulance. Probably saved a life. I mean, unbelievable. But this is part of the issue right now. As far, can you imagine this Saturday afternoon, watch out, Times Square, 44th Street? I know the building, I've been in that building many times, 1515 Broadway there. So that's a busy area, as you would imagine, on a Saturday. Could have been a lot worse, Joe.
Well, sure. Think about this. If this wasn't during pandemic times, there would have been 10 times the amount of people out on the street at that time. So when you have stray bullets going on, this has been my fear, and it's what I was just talking about, where they just start pulling out guns and start fighting. I mean, I think he was trying to shoot his brother over an argument. So here's a prime example of people indiscriminately pulling out guns, just firing rounds, and don't care who they hit. And that's when the innocent people start getting hit all over the place. You know, that's why all of a sudden, you know, the mayoral candidate started talking about crime, because it was a huge story. They had to talk about it. Up until that point, it was just reimagine the police. So, you know, we're at a dangerous precipice right now about what happens in New York City about the next mayoral candidate. I know it sounds like fear-mongering, but you know what? If you look at these stats and look at these numbers, there's no such thing as fear-mongering. Just look at the numbers. It's very stark.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even about the candidate anymore, you know, because the candidate's not going to be able to change anything. I mean, forget de Blasio, what he does. Let him eat his Shake Shack burgers. We could care less. You know, can Andrew Yang change it or no? He probably can't. Can any of these other guys and gals do anything? No.
You know, I mean, too many laws.
Too many laws. Lawmakers is what could help you, and you know that's not going to happen. Joe Jackal on the crime report. So we talked a little bit about the activists in and around Nassau asking the governor now to reject the police reforms in place at his deadline, which was April the 1st. They didn't get enough content as far as the Civilian Complaint Review Board. So where do we go? I mean, is it a given if you have a... You see, here's what I think about review boards and everything else. What is the makeup of the review board, you know? Who's on the review board? That's the big question that I would want to know, right? Do we have any examples as far as that's concerned, Joe?
Well, in New York City, you have mostly civilians, but you do have some former police officers that are on the board. Just because most civilians don't understand the exact intricate workings of what goes on in policing, so they're there to explain it. LA just tried to do something where they had a total all-civilian review board, and the inspector general did his inspection and found out that an all-civilian review board was way too lenient, that they actually got less punishments from them than they did from the previous ones with cops on them. So it just goes to show you. So, you know, sometimes the activists scream loud and then, you know, the politicians answer to it. But if you remember, we went through the same thing with body cams. They demanded body cams, and now all of a sudden the body cams show how bad the public acts, and now all of a sudden it's like, well, we can't really trust what's on the body cam. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. You got to just, you know, look at the research or look at what's already going on. And that's why I've been trying to, you know, get the ear of some of these local politicians and say, look what's going on in Minneapolis. Look what's going on in Oakland. Look what's going on in Austin, where all these defund the police movements are, and homicides and shootings and violence is through the roof. Maybe you need to examine what's already going on. We have a real-life experiment happening in real time, and they're just ignoring it.
And Minneapolis is the template for all that, you know? I mean, come on. Look what's been happening over there for a long time. I mean, it's unbelievable. So be careful what you wish for with these complaint review boards and everything else. All right, let's get to this Val, the case. You've had 3 days pretrial hearings. It's all about the evidence to see if it's admissible. Joe, now I have followed each day, and it's pretty damning against this former cop and his girlfriend, or his fiance, yes, whoever she is, and Michael Val and Angela Polina. You know, the first day, it was about a lie where the former cop said he tried to administer CPR and everything else when cops came to the door. And the fact is, there was testimony that he wasn't doing that. Day two was about Polina giving permission to have individuals review surveillance footage, you know. I mean, day three, I mean, we can go on and on here, you know, as far as all the misdirections and everything else. Listen, to me, it's all about what this 8-year-old died of. And he died of hypothermia. Why? Because he was thrown in a garage 19 degrees outside, okay? No blankets, no nothing. He died in a garage.
Yeah.
He froze to death because he was thrown in that garage. I could go on for a half an hour regarding this guy.
Yeah, soaking wet. And he was wet.
Soaking wet. Urine.
Yeah.
Filthy. I mean, goes to school that way in Mauritius. I mean, I could go on and on here. So this stuff just makes you sick. Go ahead.
Yeah, what you're dealing with here is a MAP hearing, and this is the, you know, the pretrial hearing where they're going to try to get, you know, the defense tries to get evidence tossed. And this is where it comes down to, was consent given, was consent revoked? You know, one of the things the prosecutor said that I wasn't really thrilled about when he says, well, we were in an emergency and we were investigating a death. Well, the first one is, you know, there's about 9 exceptions to the search warrant for law enforcement, and one is the emergency exception. But once the emergency is over, that's it. And you have to decide if you need a warrant or not. The second one is there's no such thing as a murder scene exception. So you have to get a warrant or you get consent. Now, I come from the school where it's always better to get the warrant because now we're dealing with a pretrial hearing where you're fighting, did you get consent or not? This is, you know, getting the warrant avoids all of that hoopla, so to speak. But one of the things I thought was really damaging to the Valva case, because remember, this is only a pretrial, was the 911 call where he called up and said, my son fell down and he's not breathing. So That's telling too, because that story does not match the evidence that they have found at the scene.
Yeah,
so I think,
but Joe, here's,
I don't think come back and haunt them.
Here's my biggest fear, though, Joe: these loopholes and everything else that the defense attorneys will pull. And the fact is, regarding permission and warrants, like you mentioned, you know, I mean, these are all grounds for everything to be thrown out. Is that a possibility here?
Well, it's always a possibility. Sure, the judge is now going to weigh that. Did the police act properly in getting consent? You know, was it given voluntarily, intelligently, and knowingly, knowing what if they find something that they could be used against them. That's the, you know, that's what the judge, or I don't know if it's a he or she, but that's what the judge is going to have to determine if the police acted properly in this. So it's the onus is on the police to prove that they had consent. Did they ask him to sign a form? So there's a consent form, like, which is basically a waiver for the search where the person signed it. Did they get one of those? I mean, there's a couple of things that I need to know before we can make a determination. But it would be great if we can get a defense attorney on here. We could discuss this further, maybe another show.
We'll get a couple. We know a bunch here. You know, it's just gut-wrenching. You know, the mother crying out so many times for help here, asking the system to help. Nobody helped this woman. Listen, she wasn't a Girl Scout either, okay? I get it. But I can't help but think of that judge, whatever the heck her name was, that I spoke about a long time. You know, who shunned everything that this woman said. You know, what can I say? The case makes you sick. It really does. We'll get into it, though. What about this resident of Oakdale, Joe? A couple of more for you here. A couple of minutes left, Joe, with Jack on the crime report. Anne-Marie Albate filing a lawsuit against the police department. What's this all about?
So, yeah, so back in the 1990s, she was in the Police Explorers program, and now she's alleging that she was... it was actually this officer was actually her brother-in-law too at the time was sexually abusing her. So the lawsuit was filed the other day. This was something that we're going to take a watch at because you look at it. This is another incident where you're saying, what happened here? Well, the officer's lawyer, he's now since retired. The officer's lawyer has said that Internal Affairs investigated this and cleared him of all wrongdoing. But she's alleging that this has been a cover-up from the beginning, so that's not going to help, get rid of this case right away. So we're going to see a trial on this eventually, I think. I don't think they did, unless they settle out, but then they would have to admit guilt and everything else. So I don't think that's going to happen. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Why are there so many years elapsing after all this stuff, Joe? Why? Why does this?
Well, yeah, a lot of times victims don't think they're going to be believed. I mean, look what's going on with the governor, right? You had 8 or 9 women come forward, and where did that case go? So these women went out on a limb, and nothing happened with it. So it puts the fear of every victim out there in the same kind of thing. Am I going to be victimized again by the system? And we have evidence of having it going right now in New York State. So this is why victims don't come forward.
Yeah, I guess. We got a cash reward out. Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS. Case of a recording a woman in the dressing room of, what was it, Urban Outfitters in Walt Whitman Mall. There's a photo out there. Anybody with info, right, Joe? Call the Crime Stoppers.
Yes, because
in this type of case.
This is probably not the first time this guy's done this. So, that's why they put this out there. And then, if you have a man in the woman's, dressing room too, the likelihood of maybe the attacks getting worse are pretty good. So this is something that everybody should be aware of when you're going into these dressing rooms. Just take a look at your surroundings and just be mindful of what's happening.
An angel on the shoulder regarding Officer Brian McGurran shot in the back Wednesday in Bed-Stuy, tough area. The vest probably saved his life, but he walked out of a hospital yesterday in Brooklyn. Thank goodness, Joe.
Yep, there's a good ending to that story. Unfortunately, we're finding out now that this guy who shot him had a lengthy record, and now we're questioning, like everything else, like what was he doing out?
Why is he out in the streets, folks? It's a big question. But instead, you know what we get? Shake Shack burgers and fries. That's what we get. But you also get the Sarge next Friday, and we always look forward to that. Sir, have a great weekend.
You too, Jay. Take care.